Hello, guys, gals, and non-binary folk. Welcome back to this episode of Work the Podcast. I'm Maya, and he is Brendan.
Hello.
What the fuck? Okay. How you doing?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty well.
For all you guys, girls, and non-binary folk out there, if you could see the setup that I got going on right now. So for those who don't know how Maya and I record,
I'm eye rolling, but they can't hear it.
Yeah, that's fine. I can see it though. And that's what I'm about to explain. So for those who don't know, Maya and I are not in the same city. Surprise, surprise. I know a lot of the
city, but not the same state.
Boy, that too. But a lot of the OG listeners know this already, but some of the newer listeners might not. Maya is she's in Maryland. Woo woo. I am in North Kakalaki.
MD to the death of me, bitch.
North Kakalaki, shout out to me. I'm a licensed real estate agent. You need any, anything in the state of North Carolina. But so we use Zoom to record. So right now my computer, my MacBook, the camera is not working. So I have my
iPads. That ancient shit. That's why. Go ahead.
I know. It's my MacBook from like my senior year of high school.
Yikes.
And yeah. So I have my MacBook is for the audio, so I can plug in my nice podcast microphone that my parents so graciously bought me for Christmas. Shout out to Chuck and Rainey. Wow. And my iPad is so that Maya can see me so that we can have more of a organic interaction for the listeners to hear. But anyway, bottom line is what I'm trying to say is my fucking setup is janky right now. My setup is daddy janky.
No, okay. Welcome back to this episode. We're going to be discussing episode 13 or season 13. I can't even get my shit straight because that pissed me off so much.
She said, where are we?
Episode 7, Bossy Rossi Reboot. Brendan, initial thoughts about this episode?
So I said it before, I'll say it again. Bossy Rossies are like some of my, well, I think there's only been like one maybe?
Yeah, I think so.
But still, that one episode is one of my favorite episodes of Drag Race. So, I love it. I thought it was funny. I will say, however, it was not giving me as many laughs as I wanted it to.
No, and that's what I was going to say. I felt like this was very much like a filler episode. I just didn't find it that it was just, it came and it went and I was like, okay.
I feel like, yeah. You know how in like, in sports,
what's that?
She's a girl, wrong podcast.
What?
Yes,
is that?
But you know how in sports some teams have bye weeks. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like
bye weeks work.
Yeah, and we. I feel like this week in RuPaul's Drag Race, it has been a bye week because because this has been.
Why are you making sports references right now? I'm not enjoying this.
I'm just trying to bring in everybody.
I'm not following the
code. Because if you watch Drag Race UK as well, if any of the listeners also are following along, watching that on Thursdays via WoW Presence.
Not Presence.
Plus. Then you would also understand that it was a fucking bye week for Drag Race UK as well, bitch. That shit was trifling. It was an entertaining episode at first, but it got real stupid at the end.
Interesting. And you know, I haven't watched it. I'm gonna watch it all in one sitting.
Yes, I know. I like whenever we discuss whether we're gonna do that again, whether we're gonna record about that, I will absolutely rewatch this season of Drag Race UK because I love the queens that are on this season. It's a good season for sure.
Work. I'll watch it eventually. Right now I'm too busy. I got too much shit going on. So let's dive into this episode. During the open, after Livia's win and Tamisha's elimination, the queens return to the workroom. Tamisha's lipstick message says, "Till we meet again, love, Misha." And the only thing really discussed in this opening is that Elliot feels like the girls aren't really vibing with him and not really creating a bond. And I was like, well, I mean, if you were an Elliot with three K's, it wouldn't be a problem. Bryn, you have any thoughts about the opening of this episode?
So, in a, well, yeah, because with Elliot being, like, with the whole narrative that Candy is painting outside of Drag Race, you know what I mean? Like, in these interviews and on Instagram Live, talking about how...
We're going to talk about it later. We're going to do a whole segment about it.
I feel like the fact that this season is showing that Elliot is not really getting on with a lot of these queens. I'm not saying add some validity to what Candy is saying, but it may, what I will say is it makes me question it.
I think it definitely does. I think that the comments clearly were said outside of recording hours or what the cameras couldn't catch. And so, you know, World of Wonder is trying to paint this picture of Elliot, and we'll talk a little bit more about it when we talk about the mirror moments as well. But trying to paint this picture of Elliot like, oh, they're just not understanding me, they're just not vibing with my personality. No, bitch, I don't like you because you make racially insensitive comments and transphobic comments. That's why they don't like you. But there's that.
Yeah. Right. And it's like, it's very easy.
It has nothing to do with your personality, sweetheart. Right. Actually.
And, you know, it's something, it's hard for us as viewers because, you know, right now it's like, if you didn't follow Candy Muse and see all of that, or you wouldn't really know.
Yeah.
So you would think that they were being mean to Elliot.
Yeah.
And like that they were excluding Elliot, which is kind of shitty because that's probably just like you said, it's probably not the case. Maybe if you weren't shitty. Jafiel.
I mean, it's as simple as that. Yeah, that's about it that happened in the opening. But yeah, we'll talk more about Elliot later on in the episode.
Yeah, because I'm ready for Miss Elliot to go, honey. I'm sorry. I said it once. I said it 1,000 times.
Come on with it. Come on with it.
So, you know, the following day, we are walking up in this what workroom.
Oh.
That's my new thing. I just want you to know. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm just kidding, but also I'm not. But anyway, while we're walking into the workroom and right as we're getting started, Rosé shares with us, honey, that she has been having some weird dreams, honey, boo-boo child. What did you think about this? These weird dreams?
I always thought it was shady that Candy was like, well, bitch, let's make it a reality, because she said that she had a dream that she got eliminated. I said, Candy, please be quiet. Please be quiet. We don't need you to talk every time somebody says something, okay?
But you know she had to, honey.
She was compelled. She was compelled.
Yeah, you know if there's people talking, you know Candy has to join in.
That's it.
So, you know, the one of the most favorite challenges, mini challenges, that is, of all, is the reading is fundamental, darling.
Wow.
Because the library is open. So did you think that these queens delivered the reads that we needed, that the girls needed?
I thought that Rosé was pretty good. Obviously Mick was pretty good. I didn't think any of them were like laugh out loud funny. Let's start there.
Let's underline that one.
Rosé was pretty good. I thought that Olivia Lux was pretty funny too. Elliot was the fuck terrible. It was flat.
You know, I get nervous. So, you know,
I get nervous.
So some people, I'm not trying to be conceited, so don't come at me, bitch.
What's happening?
Not you, but other people. But like, sometimes people regard me as somebody who is funny.
Okay.
Right.
You could have just said, I think I'm a funny person. That's all you could.
Yes. I think I'm funny sometimes, but like, okay. I'm not trying to, you know, I don't want it to sound like I'm so funny.
Okay.
But like, I don't know personally if I would be, as funny as sometimes I think I can be and sometimes people think I am, I don't know if I'd be good at a reading challenge like that.
I'm not here to orchestrate jokes. They just come out when they come out.
Yeah, I'm definitely more of a, I'm more funny in a moment. I'm good at like telling stories, and then I'm more funny like in the moment.
Girl, the girls know Brennan likes to tell a story, girl. You know, so let's tell a story.
Whatever. the girls know Maya likes to hate too.
You already know.
But anyway,
Maya likes to tell it like it is, and the girls can't take it.
I don't know. Like, do you think you would be good at a reading challenge?
Probably not. Probably not. But I can tell you about yourself in a separate setting, yes. But I don't think I'd be good at a reading challenge, no.
I'm good at reading people like that's like cruel, like angrily reading people.
But not in a funny way.
Not so much in a funny way.
I think that's just called being mean.
I call it reading, some people call it being mean, whatever. So did you think that after all these reads were being read, honey, did you feel like Gottmik deserved that win?
I think so. I think Mick was pretty funny. I think he was shady enough and not mean enough, and all the jokes landed. So I think it was a well-deserved win.
It is my favorite thing to watch cringy.
I hate it. I hate it. I can't watch cringy shit on TV. I'm like, stop, you know what? Please.
Oh, I live for cringe. I sometimes I follow like cringe accounts because cringe is
stop. Just what's wrong with you?
Because sometimes there's something about cringe that makes your life seem not so bad.
No. You know? No, I don't know.
I mean, there's something out there, you know, a lid for every pot, honey. People like ASMR. I like to watch cringe videos.
I love ASMR, actually. It's everything.
Okay, so what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, people all...
Makes my head tingle, bitch. They don't be close-ups to the microphone all the time. This is what I'm saying. There's different types of ASMR, bitch. Broadening your horizon.
How dare you come into my ASMR community and disrespect it?
That's what I'm trying to tell you. Like, come on. And it's not just people eating all the time.
She said, I will not stand for this. It's not just people cracking crab legs, bitch. Okay.
Also, those are mukbangs. They're not ASMR, but that's fine.
I love a good mukbang.
I like mukbangs better than ASMR.
What would you... Okay, sorry. Temporary sidebar, and this will be
I wouldn't do one.
But what would your dream mukbang be if you were like zooted out of your mind and you were so hungry and it was a possibility?
It would have to be something that's sweet and salty. I don't know what, but it would be something that was sweet and salty at the same time, because when I'm zooted, I have to have something. My favorite zooted snack is Sour Patch Kids and then kettle cooked chips. Oh, that shit that shit's amazing.
What type of kettle cooked chips?
Girl, anything that's available. Cape Cod, if they got it, but anything that's available.
Let me tell you something. I fucks with just a regular ass sea salt kettle chip so hard, bitch. Oh, I love me some kettle cooked chips. I don't know. Zooted, though, if you give me a fucking, just give me a jar of peanut butter, bitch, and I am.
Ew, you're so fucking gross.
I'm trifling, and I am okay with it.
Ew, this, what the food? I hate people.
Yeah, I buy sometimes low-key. All right, no. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I'm going to say something that's controversial yet brave. When we go to the store, sometimes we have to buy two jars of peanut butter, one for myself because I can't be tamed, and the other for the house because I like to eat my peanut butter with a spoon.
That's the fuck nasty.
So I don't want to subject, now that we're in COVID times, I don't want to subject the whole house. But even pre-COVID times, I still didn't want to subject the whole house.
I think Rob will be all right, but maybe not Becca. Well, but
yes,
Rob will survive.
That's
unsettling to me, but that's fine.
Whatever. There is plenty of people who agree with me.
I know. I know a few, but that's worse to me. But moving on.
But anyway, so Rue is revealing the maxi challenge with us after Gottmik's win here of this mini challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And it is revealed that the queens are going to be improvising for their life when they appear on the trashy talk show Bossy Rossi After Dark reboot.
Ooh.
And RuPaul, he said, you know, y'all don't get to pick the teams this time. I'm going to choose these shits at random because I don't got time for the games.
Not these shits. Not these shits.
But I'm with the shits. Is it Rosé?
First of all, these shits.
I'm with the shits. Can we talk about when they were starting to talk about this challenge for the first, like, 2 minutes of them talking about it, I was like, what the fuck are these segments?
I was like, they tried it. They were trying to be cute. Yeah, but
it was a lot. It was a lot. So Rosé, Lala, and Denali Ali Ali are a pair, or I mean a trio rather, not a group. Because we know, you know, numbers.
We know our numbers. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. 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 Yep.
And their segment is titled "I'm Pregnant with My Imaginary Boyfriend's Baby."
But my thing is, like, half of these could be real segments on, like, Dr. Phil or some shit, to be honest. So let's not. Dr. Phil be having some wild shit on his show. Say he don't. Say he don't.
I just be catching Dr. Phil on YouTube, honestly. And it's a rabbit hole.
But the thing is, like, he posts 2 minute clips from each segment. I'm like, damn, bitch, what's going on? And then I can't, you know, when you watching them and then it's like a four part and then you can't find the last one. And you'd be like,
that's the worst.
You'd be like, what the fuck? Where's the last one at? And then you'd be like, you know what? Fuck you, Dr. Phil. McGraw.
Dr. Phil, you're fake.
Well, he is a fake doctor, but.
The next trio, we're gonna move on. The next trio is Mick, Utica, and Olivia, and their segment is titled "Breaking My Silence: Escaping from the Cult of Mimology," which I was like, I fucking guess, bitch. What?
Them writers were having fun in the room.
What fucking, like, are they shrooming? Are they doing like DMT in the back? Like, what are they doing sometimes?
I was listening to another Drag Race podcast. I can't remember which one, so I don't want to say it because I don't remember which one it was. But they were specifically talking about the musical challenges, not the rusicles, but like the Glamazonian Airways and the ones like that, the ones that aren't, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
And they were like, there's one writer who writes all of the rusicles, not the rusicles, the musical numbers, that writes all of the musical numbers, who's been at World of Wonder for like 20 fucking years. And I'm like, but bitch, you can tell because they all fucking suck. So there's that.
It is like, like the doodle bops.
Not the fucking doodle bops, bitch. Not the fucking doodle bops.
It's giving me very much doodle bops sometimes and I'm over
not
it.
Not the fucking doodle bops, Lord Jesus. He said the fucking doodle bops. Oh my God.
Anyway, so oh Simone God, and Candy. Dead. Samantha and Candy are a team, a dream team, according to them. And they are, their title of their segment is Former Team Queens. Where are they now?
Where are they now?
We don't know.
I think that was the most tame out of all of them.
That was the most, like, comprehensive, like, could be even, I mean, they could have made it funnier, but that was the most, like,
yeah.
The segment was like, I was like, oh, okay, that could be funny.
Mm-hmm.
Utica and Olivia's segment is they have a disagreement.
Tina and Elliot.
Sorry, we had Tina and Elliot. I was jumping up ahead of myself, my bad. Tina and Elliot, they are my best friend's 600-pound ass is killing our friendship.
That's a no for me, dog.
Again, I fucking guess because of what? I was concerned. And then once we get to it, I feel as though my concerns were, you know, rightfully.
Okay.
There was a reason.
That's it. So back in the workroom, the queens begin to read their scripts. Candy is trying to show a different side of herself, you know, like not the hood dingy bitch, but more like a valley girl type of thing. Denali and Lala want to redeem themselves from the last acting challenge. That didn't go so good for either one of them. And Utica and Olivia have a disagreement on who should play the role of Cheryl in their skit. But eventually Utica gives up the role to Olivia. Do you have any thoughts about this section? Well, first let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Would you be that bitch if you had a role in mind and you like, bitch, I can kill this? Would you be that bitch that would just turn over and give it to somebody else? Because I'd be like, bitch, we're going to have to fight, I guess. I don't know what you want from me, but I guess we're going to have to slap box in the corner. I don't know.
I guess it would just depend on if there was any other character that I felt like I could possibly do. You know? But if there wasn't, yeah, I probably would fight it out a little harder. But there was very much so like, yeah, just take it.
It's a no for me. Like, I'd be like, it was a little no. bit
like, yeah, I was like, okay, how, you know, say it with your chest, come on, girl.
That's it. It's not time to be nice. I'm trying to win $100,000. The fuck?
Yeah,
that's life changing money. I ain't got time for all that. And then, Denali with this redemption story. The girls at World of Wonder really given her and Rosé a storyline. I thought it was funny that Simone was like, "Candy girl, it's a no for me." She was like, "This is not it." We're also talking about Candy in a challenge because I got some thoughts, but yeah.
I got some thoughts about the critiques of this season in general.
Me too. Me too.
Because I don't know if, I guess we'll get to it, but like, I don't know if it's like they're trying to be too nice or what, but I got some questions.
I think it's a culmination of a lot of things. I think that the past seasons, including 12 in the last All-Star season, and then the shit that happened with Canada, I think the judges are trying to be nicer. And then I also think that World of Wonder is really trying to, they really trying to put their storylines in this season. They want the shit to go their way and not another way.
And they are orchestrating that shit like a fucking, you know, bittersweet symphony.
And that's
they're just conducting the absolute shit out of it.
That's it.
They said by all means necessary.
That's it. By all means necessary, let's orchestrate this shit because, and I noticed that, I think a lot of people have noticed it too, especially with how Rosé and Denali have always been safe. Well, Denali won that first challenge, and then Rosé was in the top for the first couple of episodes, but now her ass is, or in the top of the past couple of episodes, but now her ass is in just safe all the time. And I think this last episode and this episode, I think her and Denali did well enough to be in the top.
Yes.
But for whatever reason, they're safe. And we'll talk about that. We talk about Untucked because Denali has some feelings about that, but I don't know. I think they do it because they want certain people to be in the bottom and certain people to lip sync against each other and go home when they want them to go home, basically.
Yeah, and that's what's making me wonder here a little bit too, is just like, are they trying so hard to like force this storyline that they're like not giving the queens the top spot that deserve it? Or like, what's going on really? Because it's like, I don't know. Like, I do think Rosé and Denali are doing good, but like they are press paninis, baby, right now. Because right. They're like, they don't feel like they're getting noticed. But then at the same rate, I'm not very impressed with, I don't think Denali's runways have been outstanding.
This is true.
Don't think Rosé's runways have been out fucking standing. She hasn't gogged gooped me at all, really.
That's true.
So it's just like, there are other queens that are standing out with their runways or with a performance, and it's either Rosé and Denali do good on a performance but not on a runway, or vice versa.
Yeah.
But there are queens that are doing good on both.
Well, we'll also talk about Candy, because I think that they're really trying to push Candy to the top, and I don't really understand why. So.
Yeah.
I think the same thing could be said about Candy fucking Muse, because what the hell?
If you ask me, like, if you, and I don't know, maybe I'd have to go back and listen to my Meet the Queens episode, but I don't know what place I said Candy would probably place in.
I don't think I put her in my top. I'm almost.
But I don't know. If you would have asked, I don't necessarily thought that Candy was going to win.
I still don't think she's going to win, but I think she's going to be top four, but I don't think she's going to win.
I do think she will be top four.
Yeah.
I do.
Well, which is unfortunate, but it is what it is. But let's move on and talk about
Bossy Rosé After Dark.
So you want to talk about each performance separately?
Do you feel like it was, you know, we can talk either about like, you know, the most laughable or who you thought was your faves.
My faves. I thought Nick actually did a really good job. I'm bad that they called her character Gloria Allpink, like Gloria Allridge. But I was surprised by Mick. I thought he did a really good job. Obviously, I thought Olivia did a really good job too, as Cheryl the Mime. I didn't think she was going to do bad anyway. I thought that she was going to do good. She said she was a theater kid, so I was like, she got this in the bag. Those were the two really... those are the two standouts for me, at least.
I would agree with that. Lala was just drowning in the background between Rosé and Ollie.
She was trying, but if she was on a team with somebody else, it would have been different. But yeah, it really was a struggle.
I think I liked Rosé's characterization the most.
Very like trailer trash.
Yeah, I thought I liked her the most.
Yeah.
I thought Mick did the best out of her. I thought Olivia did the best out of her group. I didn't think Mick did like as good as they said she did, but I thought she did good.
Yeah, I thought she kept up and she was definitely, you know, throwing things at Olivia and stuff. Better than I thought that she was going to do, honestly.
I will say I was not expecting. I didn't expect the critique that Candy got, just because I was like,
let's talk about that for a second. Let's talk about this. I was not impressed with Candy's performance at all.
No, I don't think it was that funny.
I thought her characterization was also very strange and it was kind of flat.
Yeah, but I think it was like it's like you could see that she was cognizantly trying to be like toned down, like they told her.
Yeah,
to be,
yeah, absolutely.
It was like, it was way too much. And like, I didn't think it was funny at all.
Me neither. And I was like,
and like, they were like, oh, she did so good. Candy's doing so good. And I was like,
again, we're definitely trying to orchestrate storylines. What of wonder, we see it.
Yeah, and they're trying. I mean, they don't care this season. They're trying hard.
Really hard, girl.
Especially
really
like,
hard.
It was the most blatant. If y'all think that they ain't in the fucking storylines, the Tamisha Candy should just show you. Like point blank period that they're all up in these gigs.
That was definitely, I was like, they really tried it with that, but that's fine. I also, Elliot definitely was not the T. Get it?
He was not the two T's either.
I didn't even mean
he
to
never
say
was
that,
but... him and Tina. I
thought Tina did pretty well, to be honest. No. You don't think so?
I just, you know, I don't laugh at her.
Okay. All right.
Fair enough.
I thought Tina was funny for what she was trying to do. I'll give her that. Simone is actually really good too as Deborah. There's everybody that's black knows you know that black woman who said her name ain't Deborah. Girl, her name is Deborah. Bitch, your name's Deborah. Don't do that. Your name is fucking Deborah.
Deborah. So wait, Simone is just really capturing these one word like viral moments with really? Her fetchy. And then fetchy. now we got Deborah. She's really getting these moments.
So I guess my tops from the challenge would be Mick, Olivia, and Simone, if I had to say. Again, Denali and Rosé were good, but there were people that were better.
They're just always forgettable to me.
I was going to say they're just, he's a forgettable wow. I was just going to say they're just okay. They're not
that's kind of the same thing. Yeah.
They're just okay. There's
yeah, nothing never to like, oh my God, laughing out loud or oh my God, gagged. It's just like, whatevs.
Right.
What
so maybe that's the reason why they're in the top, but it is what it is. Any other thoughts about the maxi challenge this week?
I wish it would have been a little funnier.
Yeah,
because I feel like the last time we did this challenge with Eureka and Aquaria and Miss Cracker and all of them, I thought it was much better. But I thought it was good nonetheless. I liked it.
It was cute. It was cute. So moving on to the mirror moments of this week. So we got some stories and some meta girls.
Ooh, we learned stuff about the girls.
So Simone is unsure about her and Candy's performance, which I was very confused as to why, because I thought that she was really funny. I think she was more questioning Candy's performance than hers, honestly.
Yeah, she's just trying to be nice.
Right. And then Simone shares.
Shimonye
shares that her brother went to jail for armed robbery. I was like, wow. And I think, and some of her insecurities come from people pleasing, and that comes from her brother going to jail and her trying to please her mom.
Wow.
Wow. Dip.
Dip.
And then Elliot doesn't understand why the girls didn't praise him for his performance. And then we learn that Elliot has clinical depression. And then Tina also shares that his mother has depression as well.
This to me was very much that moment on that, like, of that meme. Of that meme where they're like, or it was a TikTok rather, and they're like, yeah, my parents are really great. They support me. Oh yeah, my parents are great too.
Yeah.
And then it's like,
yeah,
my parents were attacked by wolves.
Yeah.
And right before they died, they said, I wish my son was a drag queen. So,
I saw that. They were like,
I'm like, this is very bad.
The music played.
And they're like, girl, I'm so sorry.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, that was very this for me. That was very this.
Let's just preface it with this.
I'm not making fun of depression.
Thank
also.
You. We're not making fun of depression or people with mental illness. Girl, we all go through it. It is what it is. It's a part of our lives. But having clinical depression does not negate you from making racially insensitive comments and transphobic comments. Okay.
Like, I almost
the two
feel
have
like,
nothing to do with each other.
I almost feel like Elliot knew what was going on behind the scenes, so he was trying to control the narrative on scene. So it was like, I have.
And Candy said, "Bitch, nope."
Fuck Candy. Honestly, she's so
Candy
annoying.
Candy said, "What you not gonna do is say all these things that nobody's gonna say nothing about you." Like Candy was like, "No, girl, we're not gonna do that today."
Oh my god! But wait, time out. The best moment of the entire episode, though.
The girls reenact the Amori, you are not the father moment. First of all, why the hell was Lala running like that?
I was so mad at Lala. I was like, no, girl.
Why was she running like that? I was like,
and then she ran under the table. Oh my god. I was gagging.
I watched this because I think that World of Wonder, they released it before the episode. And I watched it on Instagram and I was fucking dying. I said, I hate Lala so much. Because she was ready for it. That was her moment. She was ready.
Oh yeah.
She went her whole
and
life.
And that's why I am so, like, I love Lala so much.
She has good confessionals too.
She has been such like a good confessional queen.
Lord, bitch. I'm sorry, Dad.
She's been such a good confessional queen, and she's just been so funny to watch. I love her.
Yes. TT. Did you have any more comments about the mirror moments for this week?
I did not. No, I do not.
Okay, moving on to the mustache.
Ooh, wow.
Guest judge this week is T.S. Madison. Bitch, can we just say
what? Michelle She's has been dumb thick.
Yes, but Michelle has been killing it this season, bitch. My God, she looks good this season. Like, what the fuck?
Michelle is beat for the gods at all times. I've said that also.
Like,
a
what the
times
fuck?
Podcast.
When I'm 50 something, bitch, make sure I look like that.
Well, like, you got it. I mean, she might be touched by an angel. Let's not be, you know.
That, let me get touched by angel too, bitch. Let me know what's.
She said, let me know what angel touching you, girl.
That's it. Like, let me know because I want to look like that when I'm.
Yo, T.S. Madison, I was like, yes, girl. She said, body, yada, 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 yada.
She loved a statement necklace. Also, Rue looked good too.
Yes, Rue's body was snatched. I said, okay, Rue, I see you looking statuesque.
Not statuesque.
And Ross was there.
That's girl. I was gonna say, and then there's Ross.
Ross was there, and it happened.
Oh, you know what else I was gonna say that I forgot? I don't know why I just remembered that. When they were in the workroom and they were talking about the scripts, and Lala wanted to be, because we were just talking about Lala, and she was like, "I'm gonna channel fucking Shanae from Martin." I was like, "I hate you so fucking much."
He said, "I've been watching
a lot of Martin." Oh my god! Don't interrupt, Rue. That's not Shanae, but that's what it definitely gave me. Shanae is just great. If y'all have never watched Martin, or it's always on MTV2 or something like that, girls always on BET. Watch episodes of Martin because they're fucking brother man from the fifth floor, and then he did the fifth floor, but the fifth was the four because he was kind of slow. It was great. great 90s television. Please watch some episodes.
Please watch some episodes. It is great television. It really is. I don't watch it enough, really. I must confess.
I honestly, my mom is a very big fan of Martin, and I think as a child, I've already seen every episode imaginable. So my mom's favorite episode is Not My Mama's Biscuits. That's her favorite one. Like, you know what I'm talking about?
Look it up.
And he's like, Not My Mama's Biscuits. So let's move on to the runway for this week. Category is Beat it. Wow, what happened? Why you?
What the hell? Sorry, I got into it. I was feeling my oats and berries.
I know. You were very like, there was nothing and then there was something. It was a lot.
Yeah, I was like, I just like felt, I was looking at an Instagram of the queen, one of the queens, and then I literally just felt
so you weren't paying attention.
No, girl. Did you see me catch the beat and the rhythm?
It was late.
Oh, I was right on time, honey. That's all I know.
First up on the runway is Denali.
Giving you very Katy Perry at the Cannes Met Gala or whatever Met Gala in New York.
She's a lamp chandelier. So this is what I'll say about this. Thank God that you have some type of waist. Finally. Okay. I think this is one of Denali's better looks, honestly. And I'll give it a toot.
Yeah, it's for sure a toot.
What?
It's like, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, yes, it's an impressive garment.
Very that.
It's one of her better looks.
Yeah.
It's well constructed. Whoever designed it, hats off to you.
Yes. I didn't look it up, but yeah.
But to me, it's just like, we have seen this concept before. While I do know that not on the runway. I'm just saying like,
world. I was gonna say, who did that?
That, you know what I mean? Which makes, to me, it kind of takes away from the wow factor a little bit. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being petty, but it's just like, I don't, because I feel like she thought, like, I guess what I'm saying is I didn't feel like it, like Denali thought that the girls were going to be gagging, gooping, like salivating over this look when she came out of the runway, and it just wasn't that.
So this look was made by Joshua Napointe? I guess that's how you say his name. Same person who made Denali's, her bird look, if you remember when she lip synced against Kamora.
Okay, this one's better.
And made Kamora when they were in what song was
Kamora? Oh, the dragon.
No, what song was Kamora in? She was in what's it called? Not Phenomenon. Oh yeah, she was in Phenomenon, right? The outfit that she wore in Phenomenon.
Okay, but yeah, it's definitely a two. And this outfit is very—it is beautiful and it's well made. So yeah. I mean, like, I am not hating by any means. I know I sound like I was, but like, I'm not hating on it. It is really nice. But I just felt like she was like, thought that people should be like gagging over it, and I don't necessarily.
Okay.
Feel that.
Fake. So next up on the runway is Rosé. She was giving you a very like color by numbers type of thing. With little beads. How do you feel?
I, to be honest with you, this was one of my favorite Rosé looks.
Okay, work. So girl, it didn't have a cape on it. It didn't have no ruffles on it. It was great.
We had a different hairdo.
We did.
It was the body was looking that good.
Yeah.
So I was here for it. I liked it. And I liked her little eyebrows. Like, I thought I liked the way he did his eyebrows.
Mm.
It's a toot.
Next up on the runway is Lala Ree. She's giving you a very Mardi Gras New Orleans inspired outfit. I like the way it moved and the way that it sparkled on the runway. The only thing I did not like, I thought it was weird that it was a whole bodysuit with the arms. Like, why didn't she cut off the arms and make it sleeveless? I thought that was a really strange choice.
Ripped on the side.
It was, which I didn't notice when she was walking down the runway. I didn't notice until Michelle be having them Hawkeyes, bitch. Play with her if you want.
Again, I love the hair and makeup, so I just feel like I want to toot this just because, like, I don't hate it. Like,
I don't hate it either.
And I love her hair and makeup, so it's just like,
it's a toot.
I'm sorry, I toot it. Fuck with me. Fight me.
Okay. Next up on the runway is Got Mick wearing anal beads.
Giving me very Latrice Royale circa All Stars.
Yeah, and the purple number. Yep. I don't think Batista's wearing anal beads, but you know, Mick, these are actually, I forget what I watched, but these are actual anal beads. She went to the sex store and bought anal beads and put them on there. So there's that.
Wow.
Yeah.
We love an anal bead number. I think it's tootable. It's like creative, I guess.
I love the makeup. The makeup is
slaying. Yeah, the makeup's good. He always slays makeup. I mean, there's never a doubt about that. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be slayage when it comes to the makeup department.
Let me ask you something about Mick this season. Ooh. Do you think that it's strange or commendable that Mick has not worn her signature white face all season except for the entrance look?
I think it's commendable because I feel like Mick, he saw what does, like, look at what happened with Dusty Ray Bottoms with them.
But they didn't do that. Well, I guess Michelle had something to say about Crystal, but Crystal kind of switched up afterwards.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I just feel like Mick has seen, like, I feel like he was smart in the sense of, like, he recognized that, like, if you do have a look, you won't ever be ridiculed for it on Drag Race. But they don't want to just see that from you, which is fair because it's a competition and we're trying to see if you can, can wear the Technicolor dream coat and be an all-encompassing individual.
Right.
So I understand that, but you know, I think he was strategic and smart in saying, I'll bring it for my entrance look so people know this is me, this is what I do.
Right.
But then, and I'm sure it might come back again at some point.
I hope so, because we're already 7 episodes in and we've only seen it once. So I think we're due. I honestly think some of the, I feel like last week with the little dress, I feel like that could have been a really cool look to do the white face with, you know? Mm-hmm. I feel like some outfits warranted it, but I mean, she's not trying to get red and I'm not mad about that.
I ain't mad about that because we all know how Michelle be with anything that's repetitive, but she ain't get on fucking rosé with these fucking bouffant ass fucking hairdos.
Anyway, you give Mick a toot or a boot.
It's a toot.
It's a toot for me. Next up on the runway is Olivia Lux, giving you very hood girl in the city. So nice, this is nice
Candy Muse from last runway.
The first thing I thought, I was like, is this the same wig that Candy had on? So I did some research. It is not. Why are you laughing?
She said, I was like, wait.
I was like, is this, because it looks almost identical. Almost identical. So I did some research on one of the Instagrams. They are literally almost identical, like to even the colors of the barrettes, almost identical, but they are made by two different wig makers.
Yeah, they need to like contact each other immediately and be like, what happened?
What the fuck?
How'd we do this?
And I also thought that Olivia probably, it was very questionable that Candy wore that hair, but anyway. I like this. I also wore barrettes in my hair just like that when I was a child. I wish my hair was that long. It was. My brother cut it when my parents weren't looking, but that's another story for another day. I like it. I think it's cute.
It's cute. It's like a turtleneck and a, you know, overalls, but it's cute.
Yeah.
It's cute.
I give it a toot.
It's a toot. And I like the hair on her.
Next up on the runway is fucking Utica, bitch, giving you the bride that killed her husband. This shit is amazing, bro. This is immaculate.
It's a lot of beads. It's a lot of beads.
Like, I don't understand why the judges were not gagging over this more than they were, because I think this is one of the top looks ever on the main stage of Drag Race. I think that's absolutely incredible.
Which, I'm a come back to this. In two people, because I got some fucking qualms.
I don't know what you're gonna say, but I'm scared. Do you give this toot a toot or boot?
I give it an absolute toot. It's very high fashion, very editorial, and it's a look. So yeah,
I can guarantee you after this fucking season, Utica is going to be on covers of Vogue and shit. Absolutely.
Vogue has already interviewed her. I saw it.
Oh really?
I saw it. It was like. Something like, oh, RuPaul's newest quirky queen or something like that is just getting started. Oh, it's Vogue.com, Utica Queen, Drag Race's breakout style stars only getting started 4 days ago. She already has.
There you go. I can see her being with the Violet Chachkis and shit, bitch. I really can.
Yeah.
I really can.
He already has a whole episode on, a whole article about him on Vogue.
I'm going to say Utica didn't make this. Let me check, though. I'm not sure.
I mean, he is crafty and he knows how to.
Oh, there's a couple of people listed. So it just is outfit details. So I'm guessing they probably made different parts of the outfit.
It's a toot, though, for sure.
Oh, wow. Is it just this girl? It's just like some random girl from like probably Utica. From fucking Minnesota that makes Utica's outfits. That's amazing.
Yeah,
literally, it's just some random girl. It's like not even like a designer. That's amazing work. Next up is Candy Muse. I'm very interested in how you feel about this outfit. I liked it. I wish on the runway she would have moved.
Yes.
Boa, so we could have seen more of the outfit. I thought it was really weird that she was covering the whole thing up the whole time.
Yeah, me too.
But other than that, I liked it.
I actually really liked this look. I thought it, like, I thought her beat was right.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the color. I liked the hat. But I agree. I was wondering why he didn't open up the fucking fur a little bit, because there is a lot of beaded work on the bottom and on the chest and the start, you know.
And we could see
stomach
it.
Area. And we couldn't see it.
It was very weird.
But there was, I liked the long, did you see how there was like long draping beads on the back of the fur too? Yeah. Which I do like that.
Yeah.
But it was very much so a toot. I liked it a lot. I definitely liked it.
It's a toot for me. Next up is Simone. Just giving you Mother Africa, Zulu tribe, fucking realness with her hair, with her name and her hair on the back, bitch. Simone is just giving the people black. Just black. Yeah. And I live. It's a toot for me.
It's definitely a toot. Now, do you agree with RuPaul in saying that this is one of the best things that's ever come down the RuPaul's Drag Race runway?
I think Ru is in the same boat as me. It's just so black. And we don't see a lot of these kind of things on Drag Race at all.
Yeah.
And so it's like Simone is really giving it to the girls, and I live.
Where does Simone take his picture?
I don't know where the fuck this is. It's probably in Nevada somewhere. It could be in California somewhere too.
I'm living.
It's in a desert, bitch. I don't know where the fuck we at, but we in a desert.
But honestly, with the rattlesnakes. Simone is just serving body, Audi, 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 Audi.
It's just so good. It's just so good.
It's a toot. I do think, though, like, you know, I thought Utica's outfit deserved more praise for the amount of praise that it was getting. You know what I mean? Just because of, like, the amount of detail that went into Utica's outfit.
Oh, and the concepts.
But, like, I mean, wow. Yeah, this is really good outfit that Simone is rocking. So it's definitely
Next up is Tina Burner boot.
Gross boot. Disgusting. Boot. Over it. Goodbye.
Boot. All right.
I'm not even talking about it. Boot. Yep. Next.
So lastly is Elliot with two T's giving you Flapper Girl. There's no body in this, but it's cute.
Yeah. Let me not be rude, because for Elliot with 3Ks, this was not bad.
It wasn't bad, but it wasn't good.
Yeah. So it's like a...
What did we say last week? It was a toot and to boot. It's a taboo.
Yeah, it's definitely a taboo.
You would think that I was high, but I'm not. I'm just tired. so hard that was for me.
She said it was a taboo.
So the tops for this week are Olivia, Candy, and Simone, and the bottoms are Utica, Lala, and Elliot. I wholeheartedly agree with the bottoms.
Yes.
The tops, on the other hand, Candy for a top, that was questionable. That was questionable as a motherfucker.
I think it was like the outfit that kind of saved Candy. They like lived for Candy's outfit.
I think Mick should have been in the top, honestly. You don't think so?
I don't know. I don't know. I think maybe Olivia, maybe Olivia Rose.
Okay.
And Simone.
Okay. I can see that too. But not Candy. But
yeah, I can agree with like Candy. I don't think Candy's performance was like spectacular to be a top. But so I would say Rose, Olivia, and Simone would be my top three. But Candy for sure should have been safe.
Yes, very much that.
Yeah.
I was confused.
But bottoms, 100%, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I 100% agree that Utica should have been safe. Like, that outfit was safe.
Yes. Worthy. That outfit saved Utica, definitely. And I don't. Yeah. I also just don't think in the challenge she was as bad as Lala and Elliot.
Well, yeah, that as well.
Lala and Elliot were underacting while Utica was overacting.
Which, imagine that, fucking the wacky inflatable tube man overacting.
Right. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
So the winner for this week is Olivia Lux, and our bottom two is Lala and Elliot.
Fucking Olivia Lux is just gobbling up these fucking challenges, bitch.
She was fading in the background these last couple.
If she don't win, she's coming back for All Stars, guaranteed.
Yeah, she definitely was fading in the background some of these episodes, but bitch, she's coming back with vengeance. Play with her if you want.
It's almost like she needed like to win or like get praise. And then as soon as she heard that she was doing good and like her personality's working, it was like, okay, so let me just accelerate it times 1,000 if what I'm doing is already working. And it's working.
It's working, bitch. It's working.
Because right now she's definitely a front runner in the competition.
Yeah, she is. She definitely is. Her and Simone.
Yeah, 100%.
So lip sync song this week was Whole Lotta Women by Kelly Clarkson. I said y'all couldn't get any other Kelly Clarkson song, but that's fine. You don't like Kelly Clarkson, do you?
Actually, I do, bitch. I've seen her live. Thank you.
You're so white.
It was like a long ass time ago. Like, I was young, but like, I have seen her live. Thank you. There are some Kelly Clarkson bops. Don't you even
fret. Bitch, behind these hazel eyes? Don't play with me.
I spread my wings and I learned how to fly.
You went all the way back.
I do what it takes till I touch the sky. Gotta make a wish, make a chance,
and bring away. Kelly Clarkson has been around for like 15 fucking years, probably more.
She's
than
a
that
certified
actually.
Hit maker.
This is the song y'all pick from Kelly Clarkson out of all of them. This is the one you pick.
Yeah,
literally.
I don't even know this song.
Me neither.
I know a lot of Kelly Clarkson. I know an alarming amount of Kelly Clarkson
me too.
songs. I don't know this one.
But so, you know what would have been good? Miss Independent. Ooh. Miss Independent. Miss. Keep your distance. I think they've done Since You've Been Gone before, haven't they? I feel like they have. Maybe they haven't. I don't know.
Well, if they haven't, they need to. Bring some better Kelly Clarkson, please. Thank you, Rue.
NT-Way, how did you feel about this lip sync?
Lestour. I said send them both.
I honestly thought it was going to be a double Shantae. You say.
Why?
Because I don't think it was that bad of a lip sync. I thought it was a pretty good lip sync.
I mean, honestly, I just wanted Lala to stay.
So was the lip sync good or bad, though? Was their performances good or bad?
I mean, if I wanted, I just thought it was like, whatever. But like, okay. Elliot, I just don't want Elliot to stay. I'm over it.
I really thought that they were... I don't know. The way that Rue was talking to us, I thought it was going to be a double Shantae, and I was like, yes, Lala, another day. We're going to get a lot more good confessionals, but alas.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just like Lala was giving the like such good confessionals and like all that shit. So it's like she's going to be missed this season.
Yes.
Yeah, so. Whereas Elliot would not be.
Okay. So eliminated this week was, unfortunately, Lala Ri.
Unfortunately...
So Untucked this week, Denali and Rosé feel like they're kind of fading into the background with them still being safe all of these episodes and not really getting any judges' critiques. And then we have a moment where Rosé kind of feels like she's being underestimated and overlooked by the girls. And safe was herself, Rosé. Who else was in there? It was Mick and Tina, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
My thing is...
When they were all talking and they felt like... And Denali felt like she couldn't even get a word in and that the girls just forget that she's there, basically.
Which I have a problem with, right?
Okay.
Because here's my thing. Here's the tea.
Okay. Two teas.
There is... Everybody's in the same room, right? Mm-hmm. It's a television show where there's 13... drag queens mm-hmm. competing for one title, right? It's going to be a loud room.
Right.
It's going to be a lot of personality.
Yeah.
That's what y'all are there for, right? So you can't blame other people for not standing out. Because I don't, if you ask me, I don't think that there's any other, I don't think there's any queen on this season who is being obnoxious or like, well, okay, besides Candy, but I
thank
think
you.
Candy, well, time out though. If Candy kind of was throwing her Mother Teresa thing, this Untucked episode.
She was, I was like, girl, bye.
She was saving face.
You fake as hell.
But what I'm, what if Candy keeps that up and that's like what he actually becomes, then I don't think that there's any queen on this season that, you know, like is being obnoxious enough to the point where Denali can't get her word in edgewise. Everybody's fucking, what do you just say something? Speak up. Say something.
Well, I think that's because I feel for Denali because there's a lot of situations, believe it or not, where I feel like that too, where it's just like you can't get a word in edgewise when certain people are in the room and they're talking. And I'm not the type of person that likes to interrupt people when they're talking. I despise that. Being fucking on Zoom at work all the time, I hate people interrupt people. It just is a pet peeve of mine. I just don't like it. Yeah. So I understand where Denali is coming from, where it's just like, I'm gonna just let everybody else talk because the girls. And also, I think it also comes from, you feel like people don't care what you have to say anyway when you talk. You know what I mean?
Right. But you know, sometimes it's like, I guess it's like when you wreck it. Yeah, in real life situations, like, yeah, that can be hard. But I feel like when you are on a television show, especially a competition-based reality show,
mm-hmm.
where it's your job is to like showcase your charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent, it's like you better make sure that you're heard. And yeah, yeah. It is hard, especially when you do have loud personalities, you know, like when Vanjie was there and Silky and your... all of those type of people, it is hard, but then at the same rate, you gotta fucking show up, show out. It's TV, baby. It's what it is. It's, you know, it's like, be loud, be proud, you know, because like when Denali is performing, doing her splits and kicks and shits, they be gagging for her.
Yeah.
You know? So I get kind of like annoyed when queens kind of feel that way. And then I also feel like, it's kind of weird that Denali would say that queens underestimate her, but then she's also the same person who says, I feel like I'm being faded into the background. Yeah. So it's like, it's almost like you're giving them the fuel to underestimate you because you seem like you're weathered right now. You seem like you're fucking tired and like you're annoyed. So yeah, they probably think they are underestimating you because that's the narrative that you're pushing.
Well, I think that she's just expressing her feelings with the judges and not the girls more. Like, I feel like she thinks that the judges are not really, I guess Rosé feels the same way, but we're just talking about Denali right now, that they're just not seeing what they're putting out for whatever reason. I don't know what the reason is. I don't know. I just feel like I understand where she's coming from and I get it. And I understand that we're on a competition reality show. Yes. We're also on a competition reality show in 2020. You know, the girls be sensitive. So, you know.
Yeah. I'm not saying Denali's wrong for her feelings by any means. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I definitely think I understand what he's saying. I think there is validity in it. But at the other end of that is... if you watched Drag Race UK, right? It doesn't give anything away, so don't worry. But like in this past episode, RuPaul's like, bitch, the world is ending. So if there's ever a time to do what the fuck you want to do.
Girl, we've all seen the clip, yes.
Yeah.
We've all seen H&M, yes.
So like, but like not just that, but like there was a whole other slew of things that he said during that whole experience. And it was kind of just like, you this is your time. And be as crazy as you need to be, even if it feels weird and outlandish.
Yeah.
Fucking push it to the limit and make yourself seen.
But also, it's harder for some people to break out of that shell and that worry in their head than other people, too.
For sure. But hopefully she can get about his motherfucking head soon before he ends up getting the chop.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's sad.
Let me grab my phone very quickly. It's across the room. You could talk about next week because we're going to discuss some things that have been happening in the Drag Race universe. Please give me 1 second.
Yes. So while she grabs her phone to discuss some Drag Race universe topics, next week's episode that is coming up here is called Social Media, the Unverified Rusical. And it is where the queens must record lyrics and learn choreography as they perform in a tale on social media. And Jamal Sims will be the guest judge. I'm curious to know what the listeners think of the Rusicals. There has been good Rusicals. There has been very good Rusicals in the past. However, there's also been very shitty Rusicals in the past. One of them being the Farmer Rusical, which I had no idea what the fuck that was about. And I think that was season 10. That was shit. So we shall see how that goes with the Unverified Rusical. I hope it's good. I hope the queens, sometimes the Rusicals separate, you know, the
strong meek
from the weak.
Strong definitely do. Mm-hmm.
You know, I do feel like while this is an opportunity for Denali and Rosé to excel again, this is also an opportunity for Denali and Rosé to be quote unquote overlooked again, should they not give it their all. So we'll see how that goes.
I agree. I also think this is a very strange topic for a Rusical, but I'm curious to see how it's going to go. Whatever. I was like, okay.
After this week, I was like, I guess, you know.
Okay, so Britt and I have been discussing, especially this season, there's a lot of things that are going on outside of the show that I think deserve to be discussed because they give a lot of context to what's going on the show. One of them is Nina Bonita Brown, but I'll talk about that another day because I need to do a little bit more research on that one. This Elliot with 2T3Ks thing. So Candy was on, I don't really know what this is. It looks like a Mickey's type of situation, but obviously it was on Zoom because you can see the bottom of it and somebody recording it on the screen, hosted by Nikki Doll. And I'll play you the audio from it. Hold on.
There were a lot of microaggressions on set where she called me ghetto. She called Simone's train look ratchet. Oh, there are many other transphobic things that Elliot said on set, but I'm going to leave that to other people to see. There were a lot of microaggressions on set where she called me ghetto.
So that was Candy Muse talking about Elliot with 2 T's, saying that there were many instances where she called Candy ghetto and ratchet, and called Simone's train look with the do-rag, as you can recall, ratchet, and said transphobic things. And obviously, I think we can all think that those transphobic things were said about Gottmik. I was listening to Sibling Rivalry with Bob and Monet Exchange. Monet said she had talked to a couple of girls from this season, and verified that these comments that Kanye made were true. There was validity to them, and that at some point in the season, don't know if that happened already or not, that Gottmik was so fed up with the comments that Elliot made that Gottmik was like, I do not want to be in the same room as this person.
So is that going to lead to like drama later on in the season?
Don't know. Didn't get all that.
Because I would hope, I'm not saying I would hope that it led into drama in the sense of like, I want drama, but I hope that if that is going on, and like, I would hope that it would be addressed at some point this season, because if they swept it under the rug, or maybe, you know, because I would really doubt that they would have no clue.
It didn't play the whole, this wasn't like the whole entire clip. There's a little bit more at the end. Nikki Doll says, save for the reunion is what she says at the end of the clip. So I'm guessing if they don't talk about it now, they definitely will talk about it in the reunion. But again, like I said earlier, we don't know if these things are being said obviously because this season also is being filmed differently, where the girls get to talk outside of the show, which in previous seasons, I think everything four and on until this season, the girls are not allowed to speak to each other until they are on camera and cameras are rolling.
Right.
You know, that's because of what Willem did. Before that, they were allowed to do that, but because of Willem, they weren't allowed to do that. So after season four, they literally are hushed. They stay in separate hotel rooms. They can't talk to each other. They can't converse with each other until they're on set. Obviously, because they're all quarantined together, I think they still are in a hotel. I don't think they're in a house or anything like that together. They might be, I'm really not sure. But I think they are allowed to interact outside right. of the show's filming. So these comments could have been made then. They could have been made. Another theory that I have, they could have been made on camera, but they didn't want to include it on camera because they did not want another fucking Sherry Pie situation. They want to deal with no shit like that again, especially... Grant, especially when this fucking season was being filmed in the middle of summer 2020, when all the racial injustice protests and stuff were happening, would have wanted to not want that motherfucker smoke. Okay.
Right. So I have a feeling if this did happen, and if it did lead to drama between Gottmik and Elliot with 3Ks, then I feel like it would be addressed at some point.
We'll see. I don't know. Because again, I don't know if that situation happened already or if it didn't. I'm really not sure. So.
Well, I don't feel like it seems as though any piece has been edited out yet.
Yet. Yes. But also, yet. I don't know. We'll see. Because Candy definitely has told the, obviously what Candy just said, that he called Simone's train look ratchet, that was already in the past, you know, that already happened already, so that was already something probably that was said. Right. I don't know, and maybe the girls are just trying to be like, just deal with this white person. I don't have time, because I'd be thinking about that sometimes too. You'd be like, well, I'm gonna just deal with this fucking white person until they get the fuck out of here, because I don't want to look like this is the thing. Maybe not with Mick, definitely with Candy. When white people, they say microaggressions and they say racist things, they say it for God knows how long, but then when you call them out about it, they act like the victim and they cry and they're like, mm-hmm. Why are you being aggressive towards me? Why are you being mean to me?
Right.
So sometimes as people of color, we just are like, fuck it. Fuck it. I don't have time. Let that bitch be a bigot and call it a fucking day. And after we leave this place, I will never speak to you again.
It's like Karen culture. You know what I mean?
Yes,
like,
it is.
Fucking just people who can't fucking mind their own fucking business. And people who are just rude as shit and ignorant and racist and bigots and just stupid. I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
There's no more room for it.
I think that for anyone who didn't know what was going on behind the scenes, I think it... it's something you should look into, because I also think that it's making Candy seem like a villain when she's really not, and she's trying to just tell people what's actually going on with, again, not being the mean, aggressive person of color, and she doesn't want to be portrayed as that, but she's trying to let y'all know this white motherfucker right here is acting foolish and I'm about to backhand the fuck out of her, so play with it, play with me if you want.
And I think you hit the nail on the head. I think Candy's just kind of like, I'm letting you know this is happening, but I'm not going to be the one to like spill all the tea.
Right.
So somebody else better join in with me, because, you know, so he doesn't look like the angry person. Like you
said. Right. Which is fucked up. And I feel Candy, because I've definitely been in that situation before where you're just like, I'm about to knock your motherfucking block off, bitch. Keep playing with me, but you feel like you can't say anything. Because then you're gonna seem like the angry black person.
Right. I'm a fuck your ass.
You're like, there's no winning in this situation. There's no winning.
Exactly. So we'll see how it goes. Hopefully they address it so that like.
Or Elliot has not said anything online, by the way, about any these. This has been going on for weeks, and Elliot has still not said anything about not a damn thing.
Well, because, you know, I don't feel like he's gonna probably say it's true. And then if he denies it, then he looks like an idiot if it actually is true, which it is true because there's been several people who have already verified that it's true.
Right.
And like, I'm sorry, if I don't think all of them would like step on board for it if it wasn't true. I don't think they'd all be like, yeah, this is true. If it wasn't, I really don't believe that.
No, absolutely not.
I don't think anybody's that obsessed with a storyline that they need to fucking agree with that.
No.
Just because.
So also, we'll just another thing that I just remembered. Monet was also talking about on sibling rivalry. If you watch that, I don't think it's AOL. It's the, what's it called? The Build series. How Monet always does the interview with the queens at the beginning of the seasons. Mm-hmm. She said, if you go back, because it's a Zoom, but they're all on the screen at the same time. She said, if you go back and watch it, you can see the eyes rolling every time Elliot starts to speak.
Oh, like on what?
What do you mean on what?
On the interview or on the show?
On the interview.
Which interview is it?
You know how Monet does like the Build series?
Yeah.
It was AOL. I think it's a separate thing now. Maybe it's like Yahoo or something. And it used to be like they all used to be in New York and they all used to do the interview together in that studio. But now obviously they can't do that. So it's on Zoom.
I'm about to go rewatch it. I'm about to watch it because I never watched it.
I watched it the first time, but I didn't know any of this, so I didn't really pick up on it. But she was like, she said they might have edited some of it out, but she was like, I was there and I saw the eye rolls and I didn't understand at the time why.
Well, damn.
And I was like, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. So,
well, we shall see.
Again, I think I'll talk about Nina Bonina next week. I don't have a lot of I do have a lot of information, but I need to gather my receipts very quickly because it's very in-depth.
We'll save Nina for next week.
Yeah. Because she's been wilding too. But
she's been out here wilding.
Saying some really foolish things. And a lot of the other Drag Race girls have spoken out against the things that she said. So we'll talk about that next week. But for now, that is it for this episode of Worth the Podcast. If you all would like to sign off about this episode, tell us anything, any tea, anything you would like us to discuss, you can email us at workthepod@gmail.com. That's WERQthepod@gmail.com. You can follow us on all of our socials, listen to the description of this episode. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, please, please, please leave us 5 stars in a review. It really helps us out and lets more people know about our show. Brendan, anything else?
No, that's it. Thanks for listening, as always. And like I said last episode, reach out to us. Give us some tea. Give us some Drag Race tea, anything. Because like I want to hear some tea. Maybe that because, you know, I'm out here in these streets listening to all the tea, but I there might be some tea that we don't catch. So
Thank you, guys. See you next week. Bye.
See you next week. Bye.